session. We were set off a little week in rhythm. Oh, welcome to all the moms, by the way, for mother and daughter learning. Welcome, moms. I decided to pick one of the two topics that I put up on the board last time, not remembering which order we were doing them in. And I think I phrased it, are from Jews allowed to have a sense of humor? That was the question. Okay, and it's not such an easy question. We're going to start by examining something from Parashat HaShavua, and then we're going to take it down to our life and our culture and to what we're doing and where laughter comes from and all sorts of stuff like that. Just to set the stage, let's pay attention to the fact that laughter is a very strange thing. Right? Laughter, you have an apparently normal person sitting there, and they can be reading something or talking on their phone, or somebody says something, and then they start making all these weird noises and body movements, each one in their own way. Some people have a high-pitched giggle, some people kind of are honking, you know, or something, and they're like moving back and forth and clutching their stomach, and sometimes tears come out of their eyes and they have to wipe their nose. And you wonder, what does that? Nobody tickled them, nobody touched them. There's something, and they're trying to bring down the Shirei Das of Rav Bloch especially, that physical reactions in our body really oftentimes are reflecting spiritual things that are going on inside. So there's something, there's always a release of tension with laughter. There's a certain sense of change when laughter comes in. Obviously there are different types of laughter, and we have to take a look at the context of our forefather, who's called Yitzchak. Yitzchak, you have to realize, got this name not because Avraham and Sarah were sitting there fighting it out in the hospital room, whose relative should we name him after? Right, and eventually great-uncle Yitzchak won out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that name. He decided that he would be called Yitzchak. And really, they say all parents have a certain aspect of Ruach HaKodesh when they choose a name for a child. And it's not a simple thing. And therefore, we don't take name changes lightly at all. It's not something you change like your shoes. Just, you know, I'm just tired of Alana this year. I want to be Davida this year. So you can't do that, right? It's a big process that has to be done, that has to be thought out carefully. Your name comes to you from places much higher than you think sometimes. But Yitzchak was given his name by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that the name Yitzchak implies his essence, implies his tafkid in life, implies his kochos, who he is and what he's able to do. Yassin pointed out that it isn't just chok, but Yitzchak, the future term. He will laugh. That will be a mode of his life. He will be the laugher. We find Yitzchak later, Metachek es richka ishto, making her laugh, according to the straight shot. He has the ability to laugh and to make people laugh. But then we do a double take, and we say, wait a second. Isn't Yitzchak the one who's lined up, Midas Hadin, Yiro, Gvura, the way in which Yaakov refers to the God of Yitzchak is Pachad Yitzchak? If we think of someone who's associated with the Midas of Din, of judgment, of Gvura, that strength of self-control, which Gvura really implies, of Yira, Pachad, that's not somebody who should have the name that translates into English more or less as chuckle. Right? That's what it is. Yitzchak, you know, this is not go together. Or does it? This is the question that the Sfasemis asked, and he brought a very interesting answer from his grandfather. Hope I didn't offend any powers. Okay, Be'inyan Shmo Shel Yitzchak Al Shem HaTzchok, on page Reishvav in this rather fuzzy handout that I factored. The name of Yitzchak, which comes because of laughter. I wonder. Any extras? This one's extra. I have the book. So somebody can have that one. There you go. Just have to wait for me to flip to page Reishvav. Oh, here's another one. This is the one I think I sent to the fact. So Yitzchak al Shem HaTzchok. Shamati mipi Mori Zekeni Zal. Sfasemes, Rabbi Yudalei Balter says that I heard from my grandfather, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chedushi Arim. Shekamo shenemar al harosho mitzachek ba'avod azor v'gilu arayos v'shrichus domi. He says, if you want to understand the Tzchok of Yitzchak, let's look at another Tzchok in the Parsha. that we sometimes would ignore. It says that Sarah saw Yishmael mitzachik. Sarah saw Yishmael laughing. And no big deal about that. Why shouldn't the kid laugh? Her reaction to that was, no yirashim b'niim Yitzchok. He cannot stay and inherit together with my son of Yitzchok. Somehow that mitzachik cannot be together with Yitzchok. What's the difference between the two? So Rashi brings down the Chazal, that when it says Yishmael was mitzachik, it means that he did the big three averas. Gilui Arayot, Shvichus Domim, and Avodah Zarah. Idol worship, murder, and forbidden relations. The question though remains, why in the world would the Torah describe that as mitzachik? Not a laughing matter. So the Sfasemet says, and it's revealing to us the secret of how Yishmael was able to do it. We have to remember that Yishmael wasn't just some Arab hanging out in the street someplace. Yishmael grew up in a very good house. Yishmael had very good chinuch. Yishmael was the son of Avraham Avinu. And he grew up that way. And in order to be able to live a lifestyle which is so against everything Avraham stood for, Yishmael had to use the power of tzchok. The power of laughter. It says, Hainu, what the Torah is telling us there is, Sha'avonos chamurim kischok be'enos. That these powerful averas, these strong, frightening, intimidating averas, to Yishmael were like a joke. That was what enabled him to do it. As the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Schok l'ksil ose zimo. That to a fool, immorality, forbidden relations, zimo, znus, is a joke. This is what it means in Pirkei Avos when it tells you Schok v'kalos rosh magilin es adam le'erva. That laughter and lightheadedness get a person used to gilui arayos, the forbidden relations. Because these things are something that in the human condition we know initially are serious. For instance, okay, I'm married, she's married, this is, you know, no way. There's a red line here. But you make a joke, she makes a joke, and another joke, and another giggle, and another something, and suddenly red lines can be crossed. If you look out in the schoolyard, or certainly in the street, people can do the cruelest things to someone else by laughing at it. Cruelty in the schoolyard. There's a kid who's there, and one kid says, you know, let's go trip so-and-so. Yeah, that'll be funny. And they trip, let's go stomp on him. Let's go throw rocks at him. Children have been murdered while the murderers are laughing. Certainly, spiritually, psychologically, many children are murdered while the murderers are laughing. And they're crying out for mercy. How can the person be so cruel as to do that? Because they're laughing at the time. Because they've turned it into a joke. The power of joking in the world of Rishus is that negative tzchok that Yishmael evidenced. Nothing was serious. Nothing is sacred. Everything can be laughed off. The power of laughter to break is used to smash all convention, to smash all barriers, and to go do whatever a person feels like. This is what it is by Yishmael. How does it appear by Yitzchak? He says it's the same thing. Came lehepech matzadik Yitzchak avinu alav hashalom. This was the opposite when it came to Yitzchak. Hayukol tachbulei hayetzah rak Yitzchak. With Yitzchak, any trick the Yetzer Hara tried to play on him, any of the things the Yetzer Hara uses to get us to do what he wants, he either tries to tempt us, to convince us, to frighten us, to intimidate us, Yitzchak just laughed. Yitzchak comes and says, Yitzchak, come on, do an avera. It's going to be like really amazing. Yitzchak, come on. You're kidding. Get on my face. Yitzchak, if you don't do this avera, like your life is going to be so messed up, everybody's going to look at you as a fool. What the heck do I care? Buzz off. There was nothing the Yitzchak could do to Yitzchak. You simply laugh at it all. Those things that keep us up at night, those things that put us in greatness, Yonas, the Terah, Yitzchak's just laughing his way through all of them. And that's the tzchok of Yitzchak. It says, Mashal Odom Acher Har Gavoa. Those tests that to us are like a huge mountain. We say, I don't think I can deal with it. Yitzchak has got me. It's such a huge test. Yitzchak just says, no way. And laughs his way through. Ki hoya ish kodosh melechem. This was the power that was put into him when he was born, that he had this power of tzchok. Hashem gave him this tremendous strength, this tremendous gvura, to be able to laugh these things off. This was the Kedusha of Yitzchak. That's what the Chiddush Yarim said. And now the Sfas Emes is going to say, something on his own, which is very surprising. Yitochin Lomar, he says, it makes sense to me to say, Ki'im she'Yitzchok ha'itzelo midah ta'yira va'pachad, that even though Yitzchok's midah really was yira, fear in ways that we couldn't imagine it, pachad, shaking, trembling, yuchalios, it could very well be, shlohoya nikra oponov rak simcho v'chetva. If we would have looked at Yitzchok's face, we would have seen happiness and joy. You imagine, say, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. He's like a real midas hadin kind of guy. Total gvura, absolute yerushamayim, in a constant state of pachat from Hashem. Right, this doesn't sound like anybody you particularly want to look at. It sounds like something will keep you up at night, you know, if you see this guy's face. It sounds frightening, like something that could curdle milk. And yet, he says that's not the way it is. The face of Yitzchak is that face of simcha, of joy, of laughter, not despite his yira, but because of his yira, as he explains. Ki be'emes ein mi sheyismach ba'olam, rak mishu yorei Hashem la'amito, ve'ino shum pachad acher. There is no one who will really be happy in life, aside from the person who has true yira shamayim, is not afraid of anything else. So many of the things that take away our simcha are all the different things in this world that even though they're temporal, even though they don't mean all that much, they sap us of our happiness, they cause us to be worried and afraid and intimidated. A person who has his head on straight about what's what in life, and that's the idea of Yira Shamayim, Yira is the Lashon also of seeing, Mir'ot, Yir'eh, to be able to see things clearly, so he laughs all that stuff off and he's able to go through life with Simcha. This is the key that we're talking about. It's a level of simcha that was there. A lot of times people think the Bali Musa must have been very miserable looking people. And when you read descriptions, it's not true. The Bali Musa were people of great humor. There were people of great humor, who had humor, who laughed and were able to laugh at things, were able to take life in stride much better than we were, even though oftentimes they were very sensitive and were able to cry at a time of tzara, but they were able to laugh. The leaders of the Hasidim, Rebbes were often known, even if they were frightening people, were people who knew how to laugh, who even part of their avodah was the power of laughing. So the Rebbe in America, he was in Russia first, he came there to show, in America, the Ribnitzer Rebbe. I don't know if people heard of the Ribnitzer Rebbe. He was a secret tzaddik in Russia. He lived in a tiny town. He was one of the last Rebbes to be functioned in Russia. And he lived in a tiny town doing his avodah. A few of the people in Russia who kept her and mitzvahs knew about him and would meet with him secretly. He came out first there at Yisrael, eventually came to America for different reasons. He became well known somewhat by the one who gave Mordechai ben David back his voice. It was bracha. MBD lost his voice at one point when he was a young man, and the Ribnitzer gave him a bracha. So there are many amazing stories of Mosim with the Ribnitzer. And again, we can talk at some point about the whole world of Mosim and what they are, what they mean, what they aren't. But he was known as the Bal Moses. He was known, I heard this from a doctor in Chicago who had many medical interactions between his patients and the Ribnitzer. And he said that there was just tremendous changes which came about. And interestingly, they came about especially when the Rebbe left. When the Rebbe left, that was a sign that things would be there. I evidenced one of these stories. There was a family, I remember I ate a Shabbos meal once with in Brooklyn. The Yanovskis, they was in Brooklyn. So I came into their house, and I was sitting in their dining room, and there was this huge, massive picture of a Rebbe there in the living room. And I asked them, I said, is this like some ancestor? They said, no. I said, are you like Hasidim of this Rebbe? They said, no, not really. So I said, what's the deal with the big picture? So I said, well, a few years ago, there was a girl who was born, and her nervous system totally malfunctioned. She was born as a baby, and her nervous system was not really functioning. The messages weren't going as they should. The doctors basically said, it's hopeless, there's nothing to do, just let her die. And we ran from doctor to doctor, we ran from Rebbe to Rebbe, everybody said they were daven. We came to the Ribnitzer Rebbe, and he laughed, and he said, "Gunished." Nothing. He just, you know, chuckling away there. We didn't know what was what. We went back, and it was listed as a miracle recovery. And then their daughter came out of the kitchen carrying some soup or something, and the father was telling me the story, said, and that's the girl. And she goes, oh, but you have to keep doing that. You know, so. that was one of these. There's a power of laughter to break these things in many different ways. Okay, so this, though, comes from the person of Yerushalayim. Now he says, Yitzchok, evidenced his power in this and expressed his power in this, especially in the Akedah. He was free, said, Magamimu ben chorin mi Yitzhara ki Yitzchok. Yitzchok freed himself from the intimidation of the Yitzhara to the extent that he was willing to give up everything. His life values were so clear that he was able to calmly and quietly even give his life for what he believed in. Hayamucham la'olah lifnei Hashem, he was prepared to be a korban olah before Hashem. Rakshagaza Hashem al tishlach yodcha. Hashem just stopped. Aval hayamucham lazeh. He was prepared. V'usimcha le'tzadik yotzim yisimcha zorosha b'ham le'olah. The ability of a tzadik to free himself from any fear, any intimidation, any limitation on doing what he believes is right and going all the way with it, that simcha is greater than the simcha that a Rasha can have in anything in Olam Hazeh. He can be sitting in a jacuzzi with champagne in one hand, with his favorite music on, with everything there. It doesn't come to the kneecaps of the pleasure that the tzaddik feels in being able to free himself from the Yetzer and do what is right. I heard an interesting story that one of the Stolner Rebbe's back in Europe, a chassid, came to him and said, Rebbe, the parrots went crazy. Right, the parrot is always the bad guy in your stories of Eastern Europe. They translated as a feudal landowner. Right, one of these guys who owned all the land. He said, what's the parrot doing? He said, it's the middle of the summer, Rebbe, and the parrot decided he wanted to go sledding. So he told his servants to buy tons of sugar, and they dumped all the sacks of sugar on the hill outside his house, and he's running up and down the hill sledding in his sled in the sugar. So the Rebbe said, the parrot, what does he know? He says, when I put my talus over my head Shabbos morning and sing Nishmas, I have more pleasure than the parrot can ever imagine in his whole corrupt life. Right? This is an idea that there's an entirely different world of simcha that's very different than that simcha and laughter of Yishmael, which is the simcha that we have, which is the simcha of Yitzchak. And that's a very important part of our inheritance. He says, Yitochin lomash Yishmael ratzal yidamos teilo b'chinas ha-simcha. Could be that Yishmael was jealous of Yitzchak. We see in the Midrashim many stories of Yishmael's jealousy of Yitzchak. He wanted to somehow mimic Yitzchak's simcha. Aval Sarah Nevi'a Yodah Lahafrish Shel Simcha Zu Ma'osa. Sarah was able to see the difference between Yishmael's simcha and Yitzchak's simcha. Lachein Amar Lo Yirash Im B'ni Im Yitzchak. Just a beautiful touch in the pasuk. Why is there the double lashon? He shouldn't inherit Im B'ni Im Yitzchak. If she says Im B'ni, that's enough. She only had one son. The Im Yitzchak means with his laughter. We must separate the laughter. We must differentiate. His laughter is not the laughter of our child. Because Avram and Sarah knew, Yodu sheyereshem muchan liot smoli simcha. Their inheritor would be full of simcha. Shal shem zen nikra shmo Yitzchak. So it's very important for us to understand that this is part of our inheritance. This is part of who we are, and this is part of who we're supposed to be. And we often make a mistake. There's a rabbi here in Israel, Benji Levine, his name is. He's a grandson of the famous Yerushalmi Tzaddik Ravari Levine. He's a nephew of Rabbi Yoshiv, related to all the holy ones there in the Levine family. And he's an interesting guy. He does all these different routines, introducing people to the history of Yerushalayim and such. So he said a very telling thing. Maybe he doesn't want to be quoted. Maybe not. Anyways. Anyways, what he said was the following. He said he grew up with so many of Gedolei Yisrael. He saw his grandfather, Rabbi Levine, said for a large period of time when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he used to walk Rabbi Yoshiv home from the Beis Din afterwards. Said these people, they all had a sense of humor. Said they were all people who were funny, who enjoyed humor, who enjoyed laughter. He says, and there's a misimpression now. Nowadays, he says, young people, besides that they're becoming stronger in Torah and mitzvahs, they all look as if they have, you know, intense stomach pains. He said, you go on there. It's just this kind of look, you know, it's like, you know. Says, you know, and the firmer they get, the sourer they look. It's just a nasty kind of thing which is happening. And it's not the way things are supposed to be. There was a line which I heard. There was a film which was made. I saw an amateur film that was made. There's a school here in Israel for people making films. So someone made a documentary film about a young man named Ido, who was a guitarist in an up-and-coming rock band here in Eretz Yisrael. And then at the age of 20 or something like that, he became a Breslover Chassid.
So this was the documentary, right, following this guy Ido. And it was done by interviewing him and his friends, his old friends, his new friends, his family. And his mother said one line that hurt me very much. She said, "It used to be so much fun to be with him. He was so funny. It was always a good time to be with him. That's over now." And that's something that shouldn't be. Obviously, the type of laughter is a different laughter. If before his laughter was the laughter of Yishmael, that has to be eliminated, but only to be supplanted by the laughter of Yitzchak, not to be emptied out into a vacuum. Something like that projects a very wrong picture of what our life is about, of the simcha that's our inheritance from Yitzchak Avinu. The Vatishak Liyom Acharon, that picture of the ultimate Jewish woman in Eish Yisrael, is one who is full of laughter. Once I walked into yeshiva, I work in a yeshiva where guys come a bit newer to Torah and mitzvahs, and there was a debate going on. They wanted my Solomonic decision as to what to do. What happened? There was an argument. Some guys were laughing in the dormitory at night, and somebody else told them that it's forbidden to laugh. And they had an argument about that. So I told them, I said, first of all, I know it's allowed to laugh because my Rosh Yeshiva laughed. My Rebbe laughs, right? All the Rabbanim and Tzaddikim I've seen have laughed. I've seen them tell jokes, right? There are people, I know one Rav who has entire notebooks of jokes told by Rav Huttner. He wrote them all down in a notebook every time he told a joke, and there were many of them. So I know you can't. Now you want to ask me where it comes from, the sources. This guy was worried because he saw the Gemara that says, "Asa la'adam l'malas chok piv bo l'mazeh." You're not allowed to fill your mouth with laughter in this world, because the Pasuk says, we sing in Shir HaMalos, Oz Yimaleis Chok Pinu. Then our mouths will be full with laughter. But the parish that I heard from the Talmud Rebbe is Lamalos Chok Piv, a certain total laughter which will only be there at the time of the end of days. But everything up until then is allowed, and if it's allowed, it's a mitzvah. It's necessary, and it's important. And it's a tremendous avoda to do. Let's take a look in terms of stories of some very special Jews as to how this avoda of tzchok and simcha and laughter was used, how it's applied, and how maybe we can apply it. There's a mesorah brought down by Hasidim about a story about Rabbunim of Peshischa. Rabbunim Peshischa was walking one day and he sees a bunch of Jews gathered by the river and they're very distressed about something. He comes running over, he says, "What's wrong?" And they said, "There's a Jew who fell into the river, and he's trying to fight the current, and we don't have anything to throw to him, and he's going down." And Rav Bunim saw the man, and the man looked at him, and he yelled out in Yiddish, like he said, "Chenisht." He said, "I can't. He's losing strength." So Rav Bunim said to him, "If so, give my regards to Livyasan," right? The big fish that dwells in the depths. Right? So the guy looked at him a second, and he laughed for a minute, and then he swam with tremendous strength, and he made it to the shore. And Rabbunim said, that's what it means, ki b'simcha teitzeyu. With simcha, you can get out of all your tzaras. That despair, sadness, these things sap our strength. These things kill our belief in ourselves. The idea of simcha, the idea of somehow breaking the impossibility of the situation, the darkness and the despair of the situation, can unleash who the person truly is and enable them to succeed. I saw that story brought down in the biography of a very special Gera Chosid from Poland whose name was Rav God Eisner, Rav Gudel they called him. God is not a popular name for some reason in the Shvatim ratings. You just can't find any gods around. Like, you find some Duns, you find some Zvulins, no God. Do you know God? You know somebody named God?
No, no.
I just have a question. Yeah, please.
Yeah,
another one.
The Pasuk says that you can't tell your mouth
with
laughter.
Yeah. Right. In other words, but really, you know, a person means you're supposed to have an awareness that the world is always lacking something. Right? This goes back to the breaking the glass at the wedding and things like this. A certain tempering on it, right, which is there, that should always be there in our underlying operating system of knowing that, you know, even if I'm in a moment now of laughter and simcha, that there's still something missing in the world. Right? That's the tempering which is there.
It doesn't have to be just like intellectual awareness.
Ultimately, I think a person would be aware of it inside as well. you know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be so consciously out there that while somebody tells you a joke, I say, wait, you're getting to the punchline, I better think about the Churban. Okay, that's just kind of, you know, it's something which is underlying inside of us, and I think it's really true for most of us, you know, that is there, that we know that there's something. It may be that we're not even capable of reaching such a laughter at this point. So, this Rav Gudel Eisner described that growing up in the city of Lodz in Poland, he said the young Hasidim tried to join themselves to the old ones to learn from their ways. He said there were old Hasidim that when he grew up, that still had gone to Kotsk, which is really the root group that Ger came from. And he attached himself to such an old Hasid, and as part of his shimush, the Hasid asked him to accompany him to Ger for Yom Kippur. Okay, now if people have been to Poland and saw the Ger-based Medrash, they're sometimes surprised that it's not all that big. And there were thousands of Ger Hasidim in Poland. The city of Lodz itself had around 60, 80 Ger Shtiblach, each one which had at least 200 families as part of it. It was a huge community. So the answer is that on the times like Yontov, when so many Gerers came, the old ones would get to go inside, and the other ones would all be standing around outside. The windows and doors would be open. So Rav Gudel went with this old man after they ate their Sudam Afsekas. They're walking to the base Knesses there in the slowly, and they were able to go inside because this man was one of the old ones. But then suddenly it started pouring rain outside. So all the Hasidim who were outside suddenly tried to crush into the building. And this old man motioned to him. He said, I can't. I'm gonna die, you know, in here. I got to get out. So Rav Gudel had to use some elbows and get him out. And they went outside into the pouring rain, and they started walking slowly back to the house that they came from. And he said they were soaked through to the gatkes within minutes. Right? And they're just walking, squishing along slowly in the rain and the mud. They came to the house they were staying in. The door was locked. Nobody's home. It's cold midnight night. Who's home? They didn't give him a key. So Gudel told the man, wait here, I'll try to see if there's some other way in. He actually found the window, and he climbed in the window. He was able to open it, and he tried to open the door from the inside. Locked from the inside, no key. So he called out the man, come around to this window, I'll try to help you. This is an old man. So he comes to the window, and Rav Gudel tried to schlep him in, and the man may have been of a bit more robust proportions than Rav Gudel was, and not so spry, so he kind of got stuck in the middle. Okay, like Winnie the Pooh in the story with Rabbit's Hole, if people remember. Okay, so he said, so there he is. He said his front part was sticking in the house, hanging it over the window. His hind part was still getting rained on outside. Right? And he said, and we suddenly looked at each other, and we just started cracking up with laughter. So he said, it was a terrible Kol Nidre night, he said, but at least we kept our sense of humor. He said, I filed that lesson away as a lesson for life. We cut now, a little bit later, years later, when Rav Gudel was a bit older, and he's in the concentration camps. He had already lost his wife and daughter in the ghetto before he was moved to the camps. And there's a description we find of him written in the biography of another person who was in the camp. This person tells the following story. He says, I was lying on that board we had to sleep on at night, and I had terrible stomach pains, and I was moaning from pain. Suddenly I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I looked up and I saw it was Gudel Eisner. So he asked me, he said, what's wrong? And I told him, I said, Ich will sterben, I want to die. So Gudel says, okay, so die, but quietly, people want to sleep. I didn't understand. I told him, I said, God doesn't let me die. He said, oh, you're talking about God. It does say in Pirkei Avos, Al Korchecha Tachay, Al Korchecha Tameis. You live against your will, and you die against your will. He said, I started moaning again, and he said to me, listen, let's say you would die right now. Do you really want the last thing you do in life is to wake up these other poor Jews who have to get up and work tomorrow? Keep it down. Right? He said, I couldn't help myself. I started laughing. And then he asked me, he said, tell me now what you want. And I told him, I want to live. He said, and at that moment he brought me over from death to life. And he continued to give me therapy like that as we went through till I was able to stand on my feet. It's something which is real, which is powerful, that ability to break forth, that ability to laugh, that ability to rise over the situation. I was told, I have to look it up in the book again, there was this famous psychologist, Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book about his experiences in the camps through the eyes of a psychologist, and he mentioned I was told that he mentioned Rav Gudel Eisner by name as the person who had the secret of survival, being able to somehow be in that situation, but not to be there, to be able to step out of it, and his means for stepping out of it was that power of humor. They say that once he came to a group of people in the camps who were Ger Hasidim, but at that point in the camps there was no identifiable sign of their being Ger Hasidim. Right? No beards, no payas, no kapatas, no anything. And he said to them, he says, listen, we're Ger Hasidim. He's like, no. He's skeletons in the pajamas there. He said, this war is going to be over, and we're going to be out of practice. What are you talking about? He said, remember how we would walk Shabbos afternoon after the Suda to go to the Shtibel to learn? There's a certain Gera walk. You can see it like on Malchus Yisrael, Shabbos afternoon, right? Geras also tend to be somewhat people of proportion a bit sometimes, you know. So after a bit of good kugel and chomp, they kind of walk three or four abreast in the middle of the street. They stick their thumbs in the girdle and kind of like roll down the street like this. You can see it. And he says, we're going to forget how to do that after the war. Everybody, on your feet, let's go. And yes, you know, doing this in the middle of the concentration camp. Right? These are different things. And this was a very powerful lesson that he had and that he used and he learned in this ability of kibbutz simcha teitzel. And it comes at the ability to laugh at those things that are negative, to laugh, not a harsh, cruel laughter, but a laughter, like he says, of the joy of being able to free yourself from something, to being able to free yourself of those things that are the most intimidating, most frightening, most sad, most incomprehensible. The power of tzchok that Yitzchok gave us. And it's important to remember the combination of Yitzchok of the Akedah and Yitzchok of the laughter, because really the two go together. Both of those things are aspects of what he gave over to us as his descendants. So when we look now at seeing what we do as human beings, as Jews, how our tzchok is, we have to understand that simcha in that place. The world is full of laughter, which is cruel. The world is full of laughter. We know that there's a negative form of laughter, which Chazal called leitzonim. Kat leitzonim einu makablim p'nei shechina. That the group of leitzonim, people who are habitual people of leitzonim, cannot receive the shechina. Leitzonim has the power to destroy anything serious. Chazal gives the ultimate example of the leitz, Amalek. Amalek is viewed as a leitz. You don't think Amalek is very funny? But Amalek's action of leitzonim means that anything which is serious in the world, anything which is held in awe, anything which is held sacred is attacked. And that was what he did by attacking Am Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim. Everybody was taking the Jewish people very seriously. The Makkos happened in Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf happened. Amalek came and said, nah, they're just like anybody else. Let's attack them. To bring something down, to bring someone down, this is the negative power of laughter. And it's very prevalent in our society. There's a whole culture out there which you may not know about, which is called the stand-up comedy culture, right? And people go to clubs to hear stand-up comics. And oftentimes, perhaps not all of them, but many times, that comedy is a very cruel laughter. It's a comedy which tries to take, right? People get jaded. It's hard to get that audience to laugh. So you have to take the next thing which is sacred, the next thing which nobody would think of making fun of, and make fun of it. Right, you come there and suddenly the comedian starts making fun of his mother in a very harsh and cruel way. People laugh. Right? It's a new type of leitzonus that had never been done before. Right? They'll make fun of rabbis. They'll make fun of this. Each thing which is there when it comes, they'll make fun of people's appearance. They'll make fun of people in the audience. Each thing there, that's a cruel laughter. And sometimes because it's so prevalent in our culture, we can inherit that as well. The laughter can become like a drunkenness, the Nesilas Yeshayim says, where you don't know where it's going to end up. But the problem is that laughing is so important to us. There are people out there in the world of therapy that have identified the healing power of laughter. Right, there's a from person from Baltimore who now lives in Rehovot who brought the world of what used to be called medical clowning to Israel. They prefer to be called medical humor therapists nowadays. Right, but that's something, and it's been able to be shown objectively that these things can help. That getting a person in their illness to be able to laugh and to break out of it is so important. Now again, there are questions as to how much just a laugh, which isn't necessarily a true deep Yitzchak Avinu laugh at laughing off the Yetzer Hara, is important. But like we saw with Rav Gudel, such things, any laugh which can bring you back to life, which can draw you out of the pit, can be important. Many people identify the idea of laughter nowadays with at least a certain branch of Breslov Hasidim that you can meet going around Israel. Right? We all know that. Right? There's, and again, it's important to know, and maybe at some point we'll talk about the wonderful world of different types of Hasidim that are out there, that there are many subgroups in Breslov, right? And not all of them jump up and down on top of vans, right, in different places and things like this. Nonetheless, it's interesting to take a look at where they base some of that on, where it comes from. That the ultimate enemy you find in Sifrei Hasidus is Atzus, is sadness. It's also called Mara Shchora, the black bitterness, what we call depression. And it's like any other life-threatening disease that you must do anything to get a person out of. When a person is in there, often they can't get themselves out. Somebody has to somehow break them out of it, get them out of it. And in one of Reb Nachman's Svarim, he used the phrase that it's kedai to even do a milsa dishtusa, to do something of foolishness, right, to get a person, right, out of his depression, out of his sadness. So this, sometimes it's taken to extremes, perhaps, that other people wouldn't do in terms of these things, but it's viewed, it's something which is there, the ability to get somebody to laugh. One girl told me the following. She said that she was going to the Kotel, and there was this gentleman in kind of, you know, the garb with the white pom-pom and the appropriate letters on his kippa and such. So he was kind of sneaking up to people. He'd come up behind them, and he would go, Nachman! And people would laugh, you know, and he was like delighted, you know, and he would keep going around doing this to people. So apparently that was where he found his application of a Nachman's principle, right, in doing that. Right? Obviously, you know, many people would recommend something a bit more highbrow, right, in order to help people, but there are things like this. I had the privilege of knowing one of Gedol Yisrael's child was sick, and I saw the amount of humor that he used with his child at the time, something which is there and important. And there's an important lesson, and I always hesitate telling this because I told it to my wife, and I always regret telling her because it obligates you so much, and I'm not able to stand up to it. But it's a powerful story. There was a Rav in Far Rockaway, Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the founder of the Shar Yashiv Yeshiva, and toward the end of his life, he was confined to a wheelchair. And one of my rebbeim had to go visit him and speak with him about a very heavy topic. So he went to his house. It was a Friday afternoon, he said. And he was in the wheelchair, but they had set up for him an intercom system where he could talk to different rooms in the house by pushing a button. So they were talking about this heavy topic. And then Rav Freifeld said, excuse me a second. And he pushed the button to get the kitchen. And he starts going, hello, hello. Right? And you could hear on the other end giggling. Right? And he said, what's for Shalosh Shudas? No, more giggling. He said, if it's not spicy herring, I'm not coming to Shalosh Shudas. Right, and then he hung up. He said, sorry, he said, that's the job of a father and husband, is to keep everybody laughing. It's an interesting picture, right, in terms of what has to be done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mesameach us in so many different ways. Ki simachtani Hashem before Alecha. You make us happy, you bring us to Simcha with all the different things that you've done. If we would pay attention to it, we would see the different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created his world in so many ways to bring a simcha, to bring a smile to our face. The world of Birchas HaNehnim and Birchas HaShevach are part of drawing our attention to that. Part of our Tzelem Elohim is that we have a world as well. Rav Volbe talks about this idea that each person has his world that he's responsible about. Your Tzelem Elohim, those people that you come in contact with, those people who are there, how do you take care of your almost creation? There has to be a kisamachtani there as well. It should be that you keep them happy. You make them happy. You bring them to laughter. You break them out of their sadness by the things that you do. Even the very impression on your face, the famous story of Yisrael Salanter walking in Aseres Yemei Tshuva with a friend of his, and he noticed that the friend looked very uptight, and he said, what's wrong with you? So he said, it's Aser Simechuva, you know, Din, Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Miyichia, Miyomus. He said, fine. He said, but your face is a Rishus HaRabim. Your face is a public property. Other people don't have to suffer from your heroic tshuva. It's not pleasant to look at you. And it's like you gotta be able to be somebody that's there. And this is a very important picture of the face that we put on, of what we express. Why would a person want to come to something if it seems to be making you miserable? I'm not talking about faking it. There is an idea sometimes of external actions bringing about the internal. But a person who absorbs the lesson of Yitzchak, who really sees how much the Torah frees us so much from so many things that other people are tortured by, are worried by, that we're able to laugh off because we have such a different picture of life. If we should be able to do that, we should be able to laugh. Batishchak liyom acharon. He who laughs last, laughs best. Batishchak liyom acharon means because you see the world through the eyes of a yom acharon. You realize that the world has an ultimate purpose, that in the end of things, it's not necessarily going to matter who had the best espresso maker, that all the different things that bother people sometimes won't hold you back. This is the power of the Eish Yisrael. And it's very, very important. There are so many things in life that can get us down. Rabbi Yisachar Meir, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva HaNegev, said a very clever thing that I'm going to close with. He said, Atzlus, sadness comes from Atzlus, comes from laziness. Simcha requires hard work. What does he mean? He said that Atzlus comes so easily because there's always a reason to be sad. You wake up in the morning, I'm tired, I'm sad. You go to the mirror, I don't like my nose, I'm sad. Right? You go to breakfast, my favorite cereal box is empty, I'm sad. Right? You go, it's just a gazillion reasons to be sad. But there are a gazillion reasons to be in tremendous simcha, but you have to look for those. And you have to think to find those. They don't come out in that way. I said I was going to close with that, but I remembered one of the stories. I'll close with that one. This is a strange one, okay? But it's interesting. I once had to go to the house. There was a big tzaddik here in Yerushalayim named Reb Moshe Weber. Moshe Weber was one of the old-time Lubavitchers, an old Yerushalmi Lubavitcher who wore a shtreimel and lived in Botay Ungaran in Meyasharim, in Ungara Shehizer. I actually wasn't coming to see him. I was coming to get something from his son. But I was there, so while his son was getting ready, whatever I needed, he said, why don't you sit with my father? So I thought, that's an opportunity. So I sat down with him. He was eating breakfast. And I'm sitting, thinking to myself, you know, smiling away at him, okay, here I am with this big Hasidic personality. What should we talk about, right? Not baseball, not the weather. We've got to pick something here. We'll make it worthwhile. I told him, I said, I have a hard time being besimcha. So he slapped me. He said, lama ata lo besimcha? Why aren't you the simcha? Then he hit me again. Lama ata lo besimcha? I kind of bowed my head. I said, thank you very much. So I spoke this over with another Rav that I knew, a colleague of mine, who knew of Moshe Weber. He said, so that was a very big schuss. He said, listen to what he was telling you. He was telling you that you're looking for simcha to come to you from someplace else. That you're looking for simcha, for somebody to bring simcha to you, for somebody to do something to you, bring you simcha. He's telling you, you got it inside. It's all there. There's no reason for you not to be. Okay, so that's a rather, brutal way to discover the world of simcha. Nonetheless, it's one you don't forget so easily. And sometimes we really do need that slap. So hopefully, this Vasemis and the Pacha of Moshe Weber can help us get on that way. And hopefully that'll be the face that we show. And I want every single person here, right, as they grow in Torah and Yerushalayim this year, to simply get more besimcha, right, to laugh more than they used to, and to be a more pleasant person to see and be with than they ever were before.
Yeah.